1. Begin transmission.
Well, hello again. This is Tobe. And if you're listening to me right now here on Anon Radio, that must mean that it's time for the latest meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee, by which I now call to order. I've just been messing around with my old percussion controller and its synthesizer. It's got a pretty decent synth in it, even though I normally drive it with other stuff, but it's fun to play with. So that's fun. I don't know why I'm playing with this thing today. It looked like it was getting dusty, and so I sort of wiping it off, and I might as well power it up, and it didn't power up. I'm like, uh-oh. Then I thought, well, maybe it's just unplugged, and it was, in fact, unplugged. So then I was going to plug it in just to test it out, and then there were no more open spots on the power strip, even though it's the wide kind of power strip for putting on wall warts. there were some open spaces, but this thing had a wall wart, and so I couldn't stick it on there. And so I'm like, oh my god. So then I went into my magic closet and I managed to find one of those 8-inch extension cords that I have. It was a miracle, because I never can find anything like that when I really want it. So then I finally powered the thing up. Yeah, and it works. So I thought, I should record some of that, but it's a lot more difficult to record than you might think. So I don't think we're going to get any more of it today, because I'm a little out of it, a little bit more out of it than normal today. So today is not the percussion controller day. It's not the live instruments day. Oh, I've got so much junk, but who wants to hook all that stuff up just to make beep, boop, boop noises? Well, I kind of do, but anyway. Oh, yes. What's going on today? I kind of feel like playing pool. I haven't played any pool in a while. I feel like playing nine ball. My friend Doug and I, we used to play nine ball all the time. Sometimes we'd play snooker. This pool hall that we would used to go to had a snooker table in the corner, and so when we would go there on like Friday or Saturday nights at like midnight, you know, the place would be packed, and good luck getting a table by the time the place closes. Even though the place was pretty big, it would get full, but the snooker table would always be open because, well, Americans have no idea how to play snooker. Neither did we, so we learned, and so we always had an open table. And I really like playing snooker. It's a fun game, but I'm terrible at it. Doug would always beat me at it. Snooker's a little harder. Just the table's much bigger, and the corners and the pockets are smaller, and the corners of the bumpers around the pockets are rounded and not angular. And so, oh boy, you've got to be super accurate. There's more balls on there, and the balls are always being pulled out. And oh, it's a long story, but it's a fun game. It's super fun. I like to play it. I'm not very good at it, but I do like to play it. I'm not very good at any pool type of games. I like to play nine ball the most, because you can be a little bit sneaky in it, and I'm kind of a little bit of a sneaky guy. And I can usually beat Doug 50% of the time at nine ball. So I guess I'm breaking even. I can beat any noob at it, but trying to enter a tournament, nah, forget it. One of the most interesting pool stories that I have about Doug and I is this one. I was driving down the street one day. I was down south, and I was between clients. So I was going from one client to another, and I was kind of in a hurry because I told him, okay, I'll be there by whenever. So I'm dedicated. And I drive by an intersection where there was kind of a new strip mall, and I saw something on a sign out of the corner of my eye. Just in my peripheral vision as I'm driving past, I saw a sign that said billiards. It said something billiards. I thought Dan's Billiards or Dave's Billiards. I couldn't tell what it was. And as I was looking over there, I also saw there was an empty bay that had paper in the windows, and it looked like there was a carpet installation van out front. And so I was like, okay, I'll have to file that away in the old memory bank and remember to check this out later. So a couple of weeks later, my friend Doug and I were out eating brunch on a Sunday. We would go out on Sunday afternoons, just eat like kings. And there was a restaurant down south that we liked to go to. And we were coming back from that, and we were kind of in the neighborhood of the strip mall. And I said, oh, hey, dude, drive up there, and you know, up there there's a new strip mall up there where the park is, blah, blah, across the street. He's like, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And I said, drive in there. And he's like, why, what's up? And I go, oh, some kind of billiard place. I don't know what it is, if it's a store or if it's or what, you know, it's just a single bay in a strip mall. It can't really be a pool hall. It's too small. You can get like two tables in there. Who knows? He's like, oh yeah, okay, let's go check it out. So we drive up there and pull in there, and there's a sign above the bay, and it says Dung Billiards. That's right, I said dung. Dung, as in what's brown and it sounds like a bell. Dung. Delta uniform. November. Golf. Dung. A word you might use to refer to fecal matter. Dung Billiards. And I thought, you know, what? Doug and I are looking at each other. That's not a good name for a store that sells billiard supplies. You know, you don't want to call yourself Crap Billiards. You don't want to call yourself Crap Office Supplies. Crap Automobiles. No, you know, just if you're going to do business, it just makes sense. But what do I know about business? So we get out of the car and try to go into this place, but it's locked. It's Sunday and they're closed, but it's all plate glass windows, and I'm looking in there, and lo and behold, there are six billiards tables. Just sort of two rows of three leading back, and there's a small counter at the back and a door into a back room, and that's it. And, you know, there's a couple of racks of cues on the walls, but there's no decorations or anything. It's just six billiards tables. And you need to understand, when I say billiards tables, I mean billiards tables. I don't mean pool tables. I mean actual billiards tables. And I started freaking out. I was jumping up and down and screaming, all right. And I'm getting all wiggy and, you know, Doug's all stoic, as he always is, and he's looking at me like I'm an idiot, like he always does, and you gotta understand something else. This is the first time I've seen a billiards table in real life. I'm not kidding you. And I've been to many, many pool halls. Yeah, more than the average person. And the only other times I've seen billiards tables were in a museum and in Colonial Williamsburg. Yeah, and you couldn't play on it, you know, it's roped off. No, this is an antique old billiards table, and they were sweet. So I was losing my mind. I was so excited because I was finally going to be able to play billiards, and I'd always wanted to ever since I was in 7th or 8th grade when we were learning I don't know, vector addition or angle of incidence equals angle of reflection or something in a physics class or who knows what, or geometry class, I don't remember. And that was the first time I'd ever heard billiards explained to me. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's the game for me, because even though I like pool, for some reason, when I play, even though I understand all these concepts of physics, the balls don't end up in the pockets. So when somebody says to me, hey, we got a game here, it's like pool, but there's no pockets. All you got to do is ricochet balls off stuff and you're golden. Oh, that is the pool table sport for Tobe. Billiards. Okay, so I'm wired. And I'm telling Doug, dude, we got to come back here and play. It's been my lifelong dream to play billiards. He's like, yeah, sure, we can come back here anytime you want. Yes. Oh, so a week or two later, we were out playing pool. We went out to eat, and we went out to our regular pool hall, and it was kind of packed or something, or we were tired of playing nine ball or whatever. And so we said, hey, maybe this is the time to go to Dung Billiards. And so we did. We packed up our gear, because, you know, we each have our own cues. They're modest but functional. And although, in one nod to my own vanity, my own narcissism, you know, I got a purple pool cue just because I thought it was neat and I liked the color purple. And when I was in the pool cue store, which is a store that I love, because I also buy dice there, dice show coming soon, I found some purple chalk. And I was like, ooh, purple chalk. Yeah, give me a box of that. And so I've got this lifetime supply of pool cue chalk, and it's purple. So if you're ever playing pool out in public and you see little streaks of purple chalk, you can probably wonder if I was there. Start asking around. You're listening to Tobe on Anon Radio. We're going to take a little break here. You're going to listen to some music while I get something to drink and try not to dehydrate. So listen to this, and I'll be back with the conclusion of the Dung Billiard story, because this is when it gets good and lives are lost. Oh, 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 oh. We're back. You're listening to Anon Radio. My name is Tobe, and I'm about to be shot. To get back to our story, you may remember that our intrepid and stalwart heroes are traveling from the first usual, regular, normal, everyday going to Pool Hall and driving about a mile east and heading to the very curiously named Dung Billiards. That's right, Dung Billiards. And by this time, it's about midnight. It's a Saturday night. And we figure, well, if a pool hall is ever going to be open, it's going to be then, because as you may remember, if you haven't already joined us, this also pertains to you, it was closed on our first visit on a Sunday. So, we drive the requisite mile east and we turn into the little strip mall, park the car, and the lights are on in the place, and all right, as we get out of the car, I can see a whole bunch of people in there, so it's like, all right, this is great. I'm super excited. I'm going to play billiards for the first time in my life, and I've been wanting to for so long. It's not even, I could just tell more stories about how much I've always wanted to play billiards but never got to, and now I finally do. And we're in high spirits, Doug and I, and we get out of the car and close the doors, and we walk up to the door and we grab the door and swing the door wide open, and we go stomping in there, do-do-do-do-do. And we get about 10 feet into the place, maybe 3 or 4 steps, and every single person in the place turns around suddenly and is staring right at us, and everybody's back there. Everybody's in the back of the room, sort of crowded around these two tables, and there must be 30 guys standing around, and there's a bunch of girls, maybe half as many girls along the walls on each side. Everybody turns around at once, and we are face to face with a whole load of Vietnamese gangsters. Doug, just out of the corner of his mouth, sort of whispers to us, to me, and he says, "Great, you just got us killed." Which is still one of the funniest things I've ever heard coming out of his mouth. And it's just totally deadpan delivery, and we're frozen in our tracks. And as he's saying this, in my mind, I'm going, "Oh, Dung Billiards. I get it now." This is the last thought I will ever have, because in this crowd of people now, you can see guys making furtive movements. In the vernacular, one might say, "Homies be reaching." And we're dead, and I can see pearl handles, and I just take another few steps forward and hold up my pool cue and say, "Yeah, so who do I talk to about getting one of these tables?" Because the other four tables are completely empty. Everybody's crowded around these two tables in the back, and this guy, just with a cigarette dangling out of his mouth, sort of stands up behind the counter and just waves me forward. I go up to him, and he just hands me a couple of balls. He hands me the little rack of balls. And it's just 3 balls, right? Because we're playing billiards. And I'm like, "Any table?" And he just nods. And so me and Doug go way back to the front of the store. And put the balls on the table, and we commence to play billiards. And thanking our lucky stars that we just didn't get riddled with bullets. And these guys go back to playing their game and doing their stuff, and these girls calm down a little bit and go back to doing whatever they were doing. And man, yeah, they were a bunch of cuties, let me tell you that much. Oh, I should have known by the cars that were parked out in front, because they were all, your basic sort of Fast and Furious type import souped up jobs. And I knew what territory we were in, but I wasn't really thinking about it, because when am I ever really thinking about anything? So we stayed there for, we played billiards for about an hour, and then I was so curious about this game that these guys were playing that I had to go over and just sort of kibitz. And so I turned the balls in and I gave the guy a load of money, and that was dung behind the counter, I found out later. I heard guys addressing him, you know, dung. And he would look up, and da, 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 da. And yeah, we were the only English speakers in there, and I had no problem with that. And so Doug and I are watching them play this game, and it's the most interesting thing I've ever seen. I had never seen a game like this before in my life, and so I was just glued to it. I was fascinated. And basically, it's billiards. It's played on a billiards table. The three billiards balls are there. And then there are, and this has been a while, my memory might not be quite right, but maybe Hong To-Do can help us out with this one, or maybe DJ Chow. I gotta give a big shout out to DJ Chow for just dropping the fattest punk tracks. All that sweet Toy Dolls and Clash. If you haven't heard, tune into DJ Chow's show, check the schedule. So we're standing there, Doug and I, watching these guys play this game, and on the table, along with the balls now, there are 15 little, what I can only describe as pins. And when I say a pin, I mean like a bowling pin, except only 4 or 5 inches tall, maybe 10 centimeters, 12 centimeters. And when I say pin or bowling pin, not quite bowling pin shaped, more like Skittles, if you know what Skittles are. And so they're mostly that, but then there's like two that are kind of like mushrooms shaped, and they're just stalks with these big caps on them. They look like mushrooms. And these are, these pins and mushrooms are set up strategically sort of around the perimeter of the table, you know, out of the edge a ways, but it's hard to describe. They're not in the middle of the table. There might have been a couple in the middle of the table. I don't really remember. And then each one of these pins also had a number chalked by it. So somebody took a piece of chalk and wrote a number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, to number all these pins. And I don't remember if I'm remembering this correctly or not, but I think the mushroom pins had negative points, and there was a larger number, like 10. And all the other ones were numbered. That was their point value. And to play the game, a player would have to make a regular billiard shot, meaning he would have to use his cue ball, hit the two object balls, and then knock over one of those pins. And each pin he knocked over, he would get that many points. When they start the game, they take the little bottle of pills, you know, the little numbers in the bottle, the leather bottle, and they shake it up and they dump the numbers out, they each take a number, and they don't show each other. That's their secret number, and that's the number of points they're trying to get. In other words, if they hit the balls and knock over enough pins to total the number that they drew, they win. And so then after they draw this number, they memorize and they hide it and they put it in their pockets, and guys would put it in their ears. I thought that was interesting. And then they would play this game. And so every once in a while, a guy would make a shot and then jump up and down screaming and pull his number out of his ear or out of his pocket and start showing all the other guys, look, na 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 na. And everybody like, oh. And like I said, knocking over these mushroom-shaped pins was like negative points. It was odd. There was other fine points of the game that I didn't understand where, if you didn't get your number, if you went over, or if you hit the mushrooms or something, there was a penalty and you got a strike against you. 3 strikes, you're out of the game, and all kinds of complicated stuff like that. But to make it more interesting, these guys are playing for money, and they're putting money down on these. And I sort of became a regular customer of Dung Billiards, and I would go back on Saturday and Friday nights and watch these guys just play. I wouldn't play myself, because remember, I'm terrible enough, I can't even hit the balls right, let alone knock over the right pin combination. And I would go there, and these guys would stay up all night and play and gamble. And I saw, at one time, I saw a couple thousand bucks on the table because they would get a dozen or more of these guys playing, and then they would throw in $100 each. Each one of them draw out a number, and they would start playing this game and yelling and screaming and laughing their heads off and having a great time. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. I wanted to get in on some of that action, but I kind of knew better. I did love hanging out there, though. I wish the place was still around. Of course, it's closed. I don't remember when it happened, but it wasn't too much longer. The place was only open 3 or 4 months. And you can see why. They're openly gambling and doing crazy stuff in the middle of the night. And the bars at the time closed at 1 a.m. and these guys are still going at 3, 3:30, 4 o'clock, 5. And they're drinking, they're partying hard. And I think I remember that the only reason they really got busted was I think they caught some underage drinkers in there. And, well, that's going to bust just about anything. And I always wondered what that business ever did, because there was nobody ever in there. Me and Doug were the only customers, and I only ever saw two tables ever in use, and that would be on Friday and Saturday nights when these guys were playing this wild billiards games with the little Skittles on the table. Oh, it was so cool. It was loud, rowdy, crazy fun, and just amazingly beautiful girls. And some pretty neat cars. Let's see. I gotta get me a little drink of my tea here. And as I look at the clock, I notice that we're kind of getting towards the end of my time here. So I would like to thank everybody for listening, as usual. You have been listening to another daily meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee right here on Anon Radio, 1930 every day. My name's Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee and its worst billiards player. But I am good at getting people into very sketchy situations. So if you like that kind of thing, give me a call. Coming up next, I think today's a barnacle day. Yes, it is a barnacle day, so stay tuned for the barnacle show. I know you will. He always plays an esoteric and eclectic range of music and sometimes interviews the most interesting people. So stay tuned after some beeps, and this meeting is adjourned.